The reading this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 16. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there, and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and given it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. I have not eaten any of the sacred portion while I was in mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor have I offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you commanded me. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel and the land you have given us, as you promised on oath to our ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. The Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul.
But I'll say morning again, and I'm going to get a cake whilst I'm doing that. Well, we all live in a world that is looking after number one and about what you can get. We live in a world like that, don't we? It's all about self. Whereas from what we're about to look at today, from the reading today, it's all about what we're able to give. It's all about the other. Got a cake, cheap one. I bought it. I didn't make it. There were some very nice ones. My next door neighbour made a cake for yesterday. She said, "Oh, as a charity thing, I'd like to give a cake." She did. I want to thank God for her, because she didn't need to do that, but she did. I'm going to come back to this cake in a second, but I need to say one thing. So we live in a world where it is all about self. I've got a cake, and I've got a YouTube hack, which I'm going to try, see if it works. Yeah. There we go. Not a bad size portion. So, yes, there we are. Come to church and learn a home ec skill. How exciting. But no, isn't it? And this cake is going to represent our life. Okay? There are things that we have in life that we think, oh, actually, what are priorities? For some of us, it could be, actually, priority is my family. It could be that your priority when it comes to your money, it's all about my mortgage. And that's fair enough, isn't it? That if you've got a mortgage, I would say that is probably one of your priorities. Then you start thinking, oh yeah, food. Right, we better put some down for food, haven't we? We better have a bit. It is working, other than the fact that these shapes aren't quite. You know what, I think I should have keep. So that's not quite right. Look, I'm going to just do a few more. Oh, look, that's now working really well. Good. But, you know, we're cutting the cake because each part of our life is like, oh, I've got to get some either finances or time. I've got to give something. I've got to give something. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And we all do it, don't we? We all separate. And we all compartment. Say, well, I've got this much of my time. I'm going to give that much to this. I'm going to give my family this much of my time. My work, I'm going to give them this much. Well, actually, you work, it ends up, you give them that much and they take more. Don't they? And that's partly our own fault. Because we're concerned. We don't want to, oh, if I say no, they might then say, well, actually, we'll look over you. Or in actual fact, we need to make somebody redundant. You'll do. And that's, it gets stolen from us. And then it keeps going, and it keeps going, and the cake gets smaller and smaller, and then we start to think, oh, crikey, oh, God, church, I've got to give something, I ought to. But actually what's end up left, it's probably just a little section or even the crumbs. I've heard illustrations when they do that. Because it's all about self, it's all about me. You know, our verse for the year says, not only our own interests, but the interests of others. If we're living a life like it's me, it's all about what I can get. What's my priority? And you'll all have different priorities in your lives. But as we're hearing this morning, actually, we need to reevaluate that. We need to think seriously. That's not really part of what I was going to say in the sermon, but it is we've got to think seriously. Is God our priority? Because if he is, as I'm going to say this morning, we need to be giving our first fruits. So as we spend, can we have the PowerPoint? Is that all right? As we spend time looking into our passage, I'm looking to break it down into three. I worked out how to do on PowerPoint, how to do a pie chart. I was really impressed because I even worked out, if you hit it and you could drag it apart. So that's why there's a little, I could have just left it together, but I thought, no, actually, I'm quite, so I pulled it apart. But we've got three areas we're going to be looking at: being thankful, being supportive, and actually we are verging into 17, 18, 19 as well, because they're just, in looking at it, you need to talk about it. And then being obedient. So those are three areas. So we're going to look, firstly, being thankful. The opening verses reveal instructions from Moses to the people with regard to presenting a thank offering of the first fruits of the harvest of God. In these instructions, it's an activity that is to be repeated, okay? Because the people of the day didn't just have one harvest and that was it. They had various harvests throughout the year. there would be the wine harvest, there'd be the grain harvest, there'd be lots of different harvests. So at each point, they were called to give thanks and give their thank offering of the first fruits. And through enacting these instructions, the people are reminded of God's goodness and grace, and that everything the people have and achieved is not through their own effort, but God's. It's not all about what they've done. They're not saying, look, aren't I great? Look what I've achieved. Look what I've done. I'm the one that's surviving in this promised land. I got myself in here. No. By having the first fruits, it's saying, actually recognizing that it was God who brought me into this land. It was God who's blessed me with this property. It was God who, you know, has helped me with this growth and providing these fruits and harvest. And if you look, it then says that there's a declaration to be given. The Israelites were to give from verse 5 to 11. It talks about a wandering Armenian and things like that. The Israelites had no anthem. There was no God save our gracious queen. But they did have one declaration, which everyone should know by heart and recite year after year. It has been called an Israelite creed in the commentaries. Commentators say that it certainly affirms their faith, though not in the style of latter Christian creeds. It mentions Jacob being related to Abraham. In some ways, it's a bit of a potted history. As the reading was said, I thought it was a bit like a potted history. Very succinct. It says, well, actually, this is who we were. They got taken into Egypt as guests, and they were a family of maybe 70, weren't they? They were taken in. So, oh, yeah, we'll look after you. Yeah, we'll help you in this famine. And over years, they grew. They grew to over 2 million or so people. And the Egyptians then started to oppress them. Then there was God's mighty deliverance and their entrance to the land and its provision for the people. So in reciting these words from 5 to 11, at each new harvest, the people were recounting a national testimony. They were saying, this was us. Everyone recited the same words. It wasn't, well, actually, I'm going to say that and I'm going to say this. They all had that uniformity. They all said the same words. They all came up and did their thing. They all laid their basket in front of the altar and recited those words. Then the next one, then the next one, then the next one. Everyone recited the same words, identifying with the national story and affirming it as true for themselves. God had blessed them, and they were honouring him with their offering. In order to have a right relationship with God, we need to have an attitude of gratitude. That's one of gratefulness. Are you grateful? Are you? We need to be thankful. You know, I've got Luke 17, 11 to 19. It's a parable of the 10 lepers. Jesus healed 10 lepers when they cried out to him. He commanded them to go and show themselves to the priests in the temple, but only one came back to give thanks. We are to be like the one who returned and gave thanks, not like the other 9 who were ungrateful. And I think, do you know what? From what I've been sharing this morning and what we feel, God, I think there are times when that's me. I'm an ungrateful. How appalling is that? How appalling. But we should be grateful because he's given so much. We need to give to God out of the blessings that he has given us. The harvest was given by God. Most of us, as far as I'm aware, I don't think there's any farmers here. Some of us do have produce, I know. And we often then give it and sell it and donate the money to charities. But on the whole, we don't have a small holding, and each of us provides veg and fruit for ourselves, do we? We don't. We usually get a paycheck from our work, perhaps a direct deposit to our account, or maybe even cash. That represents our work, what our worth. So the cake was our sum, what we get, but it's what we do with it. It's what we do with it that is important. Have another cake. But this time, we're going first. First is God. God's peace still leaves 90%. Still leaves a fair whack of cake, doesn't it? I want to be a person that is giving God my first fruits. Fortunately, my harvest isn't three times a year. It's every month. Every year, every month I should be going, God, I want to give you my first fruits. I want to be thankful. Thankful that you've given me the job to earn this money. Thank you that you've given me this money. And therefore, I'm giving my first back to you. Because you've blessed me, and out of that blessing, I'm able to give you. And there is a challenge, isn't there, for us today? Whether we're a young person, we try to encourage our children when we gave them their pocket money. Right, let's work it three ways. Save, spend, and give to God. Now, we tried that principle, and on occasions it worked, but it didn't work all the time. But our heart was to try and encourage our young children to recognize it's about giving something, giving to God. So whether you're a teenager, in your 20s, I know it's uncomfortable. And actually, I've taken the easy option. Because for me, I don't even see what I'm giving. It goes zhonk straight from my account into what would be harder if I was to take what I gave and had it in front of me. Cash. And then go, my word. I'm not going to tell you what I give, because that's between me and God. And if God says, actually, Nick, that's not enough, then I need to give more. But I hope what I'm giving is what God is calling me to give. This 10%. And actually, it's the 10%. Or I would much rather say, actually, because there are people who could probably afford to give more than 10%, because I would say, you give what hurts. You give what hurts. So that if some of us, maybe we're going, actually, I'm on a pension or I'm unemployed. Maybe for you, what hurts is giving £5. But maybe for somebody else, giving £500 hurts. You need to weigh that up for yourself when it comes to giving. Okay, and it's not about, you get to sit nearer the front. Forget that. It's not about status. It's between you and God. Because God's the only one who judges. Please, think and give thanks. Whenever you receive something, say, God, thank you for that. Thank you for that, my wage. Which is a bit of a weird thing to say, isn't it? God, thank you for my money. Thank you that I've earned this much money. And it's because you've given me good health, because you've given me a job, because of this, because of that. So I'm able to give you this. And I pray that it would be a blessing to wherever it goes. So how can we acknowledge God on payday? We can give a tithe, the tenth, or perhaps give something that if it costs, if it hurts. Think about what the first thing is you do when you get your paycheck. Does God see any part of it? What part? First part or leftovers? If there are any leftovers. Some people say, well, all the church wants is money. Always hounding us for money. If I'm saying that, that is not the message I want to be giving. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So it's God who gives us the ability. Whether that is actually gives me the intelligence to get the right job so I can earn the money. Whether it's to give the right grades in my exams to get the right money. We have to remember it's God. We acknowledge God in many ways besides money. Sometimes it's easier to write a check and give it than to acknowledge God in other ways, like our time. Setting aside a portion of our day to pray, to study the Bible, to go to church, to volunteer, to help someone by spending time with them, to listen to someone tell their story, not once, but five times. We acknowledge God in many different ways. All of which we are able to say, God, but I'm thankful. And I'm going to give because I'm thankful. Which leads us, appropriately, into this third year tithe. Verses 12 to 15. I've entitled it, Be Supportive. We see that the people are instructed to offer a special tithe every third year. Repeating what is said in Deuteronomy 4, 22 to 29, where it instructs the people for two consecutive years to take the tithe to the central sanctuary, to the central place for a joyful feast. But on the third year, they would store the tithe locally for distribution to the needy. The third year's tithe is specifically called sacred or holy. Possibly this is to emphasize that although it isn't taken to the sanctuary like in other years, it is just as much consecrated to God. Sacredness is not limited to the tabernacle or temple. It applies to anything given over to God for his use. It applies to anything given over to God for his use. Giving to the poor is just as sacred as giving to the priests. For what good would it be for an Israelite to worship God and see a fellow Israelite suffering? This example would go against how God designed his people to act. We see this picked up in the New Testament, don't we? If you look in James 2, 14 to 17. He offers a similar instruction. In considering these verses, it does cause us to ponder how this worked practically. Was it that everyone was running on the same three-year principle? Or was it that people were offset to ensure that each year a certain number of population would be in that year of special tithe? I tend to think it'd probably be that pattern. Looking at verse 14, it offers some stipulations. Those giving the tithe had to keep in mind the triple negative. The triple negative declaration that covers anything unclean, as well as death and mourning. We read in verse 14, the one offering the tithe had to recite, or when giving the offering, one had to recite, said, I have not eaten any of it while in mourning. I have not handled it while I was ceremoniously unclean, and I have not offered any of it to the dead. The tithe must therefore not be used in any way relating to them. In other words, what I offer is holy and has not been contaminated in any way. In listing these negatives, it reveals that these are potentially things that on occasions did and would therefore be made unclean. As we're aware from practices back in ancient Britain, the living often provided the dead with some food to speed them on their way. And that is the same in Egyptian culture. They continued to present them with food regularly. The text here is not banning that practice, but it is probably saying, you know, it wasn't a common thing. Perhaps like placing flowers on a grave. However, it does allow any association with the tithe, since the tithe is to be deemed holy and sacred. So you need to be giving first. You don't think, well, I'm going to give this as my tithe, but I'm going to use some of that for that. No, that's not what it's saying. You give everything from that tithe to what you're going to be doing it. The practice helped to reinforce the idea that it was everybody's responsibility to care for those less fortunate themselves. That applies to us today, doesn't it? Food bank, toolbar, cap. We're offering the same. The church in society today is offering these opportunities, in a way, giving of their tithe. Because the idea was, by that special year, was able to help support those who were in need. And actually, we have that within our church, because that part of our giving, part of our offering, our finances, is used as a fund to enable people, to help people who are less fortunate. We give if there is a need. I have recently, in the last, you know, in the last half a year, I've given out money to people who've come to the door and said, knock, knock. I've been to food bank and I've got some food, but they've also we could do with some electric, but they don't do that. Could you help? And as a church, we have. You've helped people in our community. I have put electric on their cards, put gas on their cards, because there are people in society today who are struggling. And that's what the special tithe is meant, is to help those people struggling in society. What was interesting, it included the alien. The alien, or, you know, I thought, when it went through the pictures, I was thinking, right, who do I get out? I'm not going to put an alien up there. So, because I put in alien on the internet, and it came with all these, I thought, no, that's not what I'm looking for. So I've got a Roman person there. And it was a foreigner, somebody from another nation. Attitudes today are appalling with regard to other nations. That's not honouring to God. That's not what this is, you know, this story is talking about, including caring, loving others. And that can work for whether you're a young person or an adult. We can all show love to others, because I can tell you, actually, young people are can be violently to others. You're not like me, and you get shunned. And it happens there. It happens as adults. Do you know what? We're all bad at that. So we need to be looking as a church, as Christians. Actually, what am I getting? Maybe you need to consider in your tithe, actually, every third month or every whatever, I'm going to give a proportion of what I'm going to give, and I'm going to give to food bank or to CAP. Because, you know, CAP do a great job. They're looking for people. If you give £5 donation a month or whatever, it helps their things. Again, Sean, others in this church offer food, offer that, facilities to help people budget. We could, as a church, enable people to be able to take that. So maybe you can consider, do I do that? Or do I think, actually, I'm going to buy something for food bank. But if you're going to buy something for food bank, don't buy value, please. Don't buy value. Buy good quality. I'm not saying you need to buy M&S Finest or whatever, but, you know, just buy something that you would like. Don't go, well, yeah, I like that, but actually, I'm going to buy that for them. No. No, 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 no. Give as you would like to be receiving. Work on that principle. So think about that. You know, because you're going to give to the church, and we give, but maybe you as a person need to think, actually, what can I do? Is my thank offering, as my year, my special tithe every 3 months, or maybe you do it just once a year. I don't know. And you know what? Even if it meant you said that month, I'm going to say this is, treasurer's going to have kittens. But, you know, I trust God, okay, for finances for this church. And if you felt, actually, I'm going to give 1 month, I'm not going to give to the church. But I'm going to give, do you know what, I trust God. If you said, actually, I'm not going to give £100 to the church this month, I'm going to give it to them. Great. Great. Because it's not about me, it's about God's kingdom. As much as I might have to have a chat with the treasurer to think about how we balance it, but I am serious. If you think, actually, God is challenging you, maybe do that. That's not written in my script. Because ultimately, it's about being obedient. That's what these last 16 to 19. It's about being obedient, which we don't like to hear, do we? Who likes the word obedient? Me, and that's it. We've just got a puppy. Whee! We're hoping it's going to be obedient. But we do. But obedience is something that we all need to have. Whether we're a young person, an adult, a pensioner, whoever we are. And that's what God's saying. Or Moses is saying in these verses. Verses 16 to 19, it talks about the fact that actually these last few verses are covering everything from chapter 12 to 26. Because all of that's all about laws and about what you need to be doing. It's instructions. And this little bit is saying, now, you've heard what God is asking of you. Be obedient, do it. Be obedient and do it. It's like, come on, pin your colours to the mast. Are you going to do this? Pin your colours to the mast. Be obedient. Give you 10%. Give what costs. Because if we do be obedient and do that, if we do that, we become a treasured possession. Verse 18. Or in Hebrew, sigala. And that was like this, the king's own special stuff. David, in scripture, gives his special stuff away to build the temple. I want to be that. I want to be God's crown jewels. That's what I want. I want him to go, God, look at him. Isn't he shiny? You know, because when you've got something like that, you're going to be looking at it and go, oh. That's what I want. I want God to pick me up and go, oh. I want God to pick you all up and go, oh. You're my special. You're my shiny. You know, kids do that, don't they? Because one of them used to have the shiny Lego cards. And I go, oh, it's a shiny. And Glyn Gethin goes, yeah. It was really precious to him. And that's like God with us. If we are obedient and do what he's asking, oh, I'm going to be his treasured item. Oh. Let's make a church of treasured items. So let's get off our backsides and say, yeah, God, I'm going to be obedient to you because you're God. So whatever and however you are thankful, however and whatever you are thankful for, in looking at our first fruits, ultimately it's between you and God. In the end, only you know how thankful you are and what you need to do with God. I'm laying that out there. It's between you. You know, maybe you think, you know what, I've got stuff, God. You may be feeling that. Stuff, God. And if you are, I'm sorry. And I pray that God would just reveal himself to you. I really do. And it could be that you just need to say, God, thankful for my breath. But actually, there must be something you can say, God, thank you that I've woken up this morning and I am breathing. Because there will be people who say, do you know what? They don't even wake up. Perhaps you can consider giving a monthly tithe to something, as I've said, maybe food bank, CAP, tall bar. Maybe you just think, actually, I need to start giving to the church. Because maybe you're not even giving to the church. I don't know. Are we truly seeking to nail our colours to God's mast? To say, in all things, I will be obedient. Living for Christ is not easy. Okay, it's costly. But as Moses tells us, in nailing our colours to the mast, we are then his treasured possession. And some of us may have never felt like that at all. Some of us may be just thinking, you've had it. All messages, all you're not worth anything. You are disgusting. You are not valuable. God says, you are my treasured possession if you follow what I'm asking you to do. God's desire is that his people are a people that are giving out, not giving in. So let's get out there and give it to the best of our ability. It's a challenging instruction, but one that is so worth it. In a world of self-gratification, what a shock to the society to say no. It's about others. Let's pray. Lord God, your word is truth. And Lord, I do pray now that what I've shared, that which is of me, you would just cause to melt away. But that which is of you would be like gold. So Lord, I ask, please, now as people ponder on what has been shared, as they go home and then spend time in the week thinking on it, and then have, for those that are in life groups, study it in life groups, Lord, please, reveal your truth in these matters. And Lord, help us be faithful and obedient to your calling. Because Lord, we all want to be a treasured possession of someone. And you're offering it. And I pray that we would all take that. In your name. Amen.